Okay, Proverbs. This is actually 57 in our study of what's in the Old Testament for us. Things we can learn from it. But not going to Proverbs. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Last week we talked about fools and foolishness. And today we're going to talk about wisdom. I heard on the radio the other day somebody had written a book on the baby boomers, how we, because that's us, brought in stupidity to America. And he made a really good point, and it made me think all this last week about things that we either believe in or allow or accept or don't even know that it's wrong. And it's really stupid, some of the things that we don't realize is wrong, compared to when we were little, I suppose, I don't know. And I suppose you've seen that over the years, how the things have changed, the things that we accept today, you wouldn't have even talked about it in public as such. And his comment about the baby boomers bringing in that stupidity thing, that's a good point. But you know, really what it is just that we're the era that just kind of wasn't interested in God's stuff, the Bible and church, and you read through these things in Proverbs, and you realize that some folks really don't even understand that certain things are even wrong today. I mean, there's just no inclination. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with looking like that? What's wrong with, you know, what's wrong with this? That kind of a thing. So we're not going to change things, but we ought to change them for ourselves. So looking at this thing in wisdom, in Proverbs, just how important is Proverbs? Because Proverbs is Old Testament. And it's not written to us. Well, it's written to the Jews because that was the time that they needed to do these things, and yet there's wisdom in here. How do we know that? Well, let's just look at how Proverbs came about. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. This is where Solomon got his beginnings. And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. Now, isn't that amazing? That's David and Bathsheba. And we got pastors and people today that preach, you know, you do one thing wrong in your life, then God shells you. And yet we live in an age of grace far more than these guys. And here's David and Bathsheba. And they're having a good kid. And the Lord loved that little kid. And it's just one of those observations. Now look at 2 Chronicles chapter 1. If you're fast and turning, look at 2 Chronicles and 1 Kings. We'll go back and forth with those. So Solomon comes along, and the Lord loved this guy. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. This is now. Here's what Solomon grows up, and this is where he asks what he asks of God. 2 Chronicles chapter. Now, 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles go back and forth with Solomon. I'll try to pick up the highlighted of the two here. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 10. Give me now wisdom and knowledge. That's what he's asking for. That I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this, thy people, that is so great? God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, ever whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have had been before, neither shall there after thee have the like. So, even after Solomon, nobody's had this much wisdom. So this is where we still need to read the wisdom. Look at, keep your finger in 2 Chronicles there. Look at 1 Kings chapter 4. Verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country. Now remember, they turned to them in the east in Isaiah chapter 2, I think it is. for their knowledge. So that, that's what we're doing today too, isn't it? Where everything's been headed off towards the east. Our Bibles are, our modern Bibles are Eastern oriented with religion. Our music is turning Eastern once it gets over the Hamite stuff. But anyway, Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East country and all the wisdom of Egypt. Verse 34. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 10. First Kings chapter 10, verse 23. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. So what do we have today in our Bible? We have this wisdom. And I'm not going to stand here this morning and say, you know, I have grasped wisdom at all. But this is the book that has the wisdom we need to look to. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Keep your hand in 1 Kings there, though, but look at 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Second Chronicles chapter 9, verse 22. And King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom, and all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart. And back to 1 Kings chapter 10. Now there's a whole bunch of sermon you could come out of here talking about Solomon. Don't you wish our kids asked for wisdom and not riches? And what kind of a job and career do they want? No, I want wisdom. I want to know how to be the man I'm supposed to be. I want wisdom on how to be the wife I need to be, and a woman, and that type of a thing. So that'd be nice if that's a sermon all by itself. You can preach that yourself. Trying to make you already mad this morning, Jerry. I mean, oh man, I tell you, you just can't please these old guys anymore. Chapter 10, verse 4. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I had heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. So, we have this wisdom written down for us to study and look at and deal with. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we have it written down. Now, again, there'll be a sermon in there. You know, a lot of people in America today have a house that would be amazing. They've got the meat, the sitting of their servants, the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and their cupbearers, you know, and they sent all that kind of stuff. It's there. We're just in mucho debt. And that's not much wisdom. This was given as a result of his wisdom and his desire for wisdom. Doesn't mean that you have the desire for wisdom, you're going to have a physical kingdom that you're going to live in that's going to be huge. Somebody sent me some pictures the other day of, I think it was Jeanette, of Tiger Woods' home. Did you see that thing? It's, man. It's absolutely spectacular. How can I can't live in that kind of a thing anyway? Not that it's ever going to be a problem. But people have those kind of homes today. I don't know where these people are coming from. They're building these homes. In our neck of the woods, these huge, unless they're all empty upstairs, and it's all a big storefront, the little chicken shack behind it there or something. But people just have to have these humongous houses. And they're never home in them. Everybody's got to work to pay for this, so they're not even home for these things. But anyway, Solomon's wisdom is a marvelous wisdom. Now, one of the things that we talked about last week, we talked about the importance of rightly dividing Proverbs. Because there's some things in there that if you apply, you're not promised anything, even though some of the promises are death, or destruction, or failure, falling. But there's still wisdom. So this morning, let me just kind of yak off here a couple of quick statements of what Proverbs says about wisdom. Wisdom crieth without. Okay, I mean, wisdom is crying. It wants to go to somebody. So that thou incline thy ear into wisdom. We're told that. The Lord giveth wisdom. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Are we righteous? Are we the righteous? Well, God has given us his righteousness, so you would think that we could follow some of this wisdom because it's for the righteous. This has to be that we have to be following his righteousness, his instruction in righteousness, in order for this wisdom to take effect. You know what I mean? I mean, if we're going to try to follow this wisdom based on our righteousness, you think we get to go to heaven based on our works. By reading Proverbs. A lot of people do that. They'll read Psalms, they'll read Proverbs, they'll do everything that those books say, and they're lost. Anyway, right in dividing Proverbs. Just hear some more. When wisdom enters into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Okay? When wisdom enters into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Is the stuff that we're learning, is it pleasant? See, and then there's a question right there. Are the things that you ladies are learning, or you young ladies are learning, or the boys are learning, or the fathers are learning, or the mothers are learning, or maybe just hearing, is it pleasant? See, if it's pleasant, then discretion shall preserve thee. You'll make some good discretional decisions. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. He tells us to keep sound wisdom and discretion. Get wisdom, decline from the words of my mouth. So how do we express wisdom? You know, scriptural words, or scriptural teachings. How many times does something come out of our mouth that isn't wise, you know, kind of a deal? Wisdom is the principal thing, and therefore get wisdom. Then he says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. Proverbs 5, my son, attend unto my wisdom. And then I got a comment on here that, you know, reading through the Proverbs as a former father, type of a deal, or former parent, and you read where David and who these Proverbs or Solomon wrote these things, I wish I could say, son, attend unto my wisdom. I wish I had more wisdom when I was a father. Don't you? But it's like the wisdom is coming now. I believe it in some ways that it is, based on knowledge and understanding, and then wisdom finally starts coming along. It's like we should wait till we should give the kids to you folks now. You see, now you and Lewis, you've been through life 9,500 years, and you've got so much wisdom behind all this, and you would just be able to tell us what to do with our children, because you've seen all these years of good parenting and bad parenting. So after today, we're going to give you our children 2 days a week. You fix them, and we'll take them home and break them and send them back to you, and you can fix them again. It'll just be like home to the kids. So, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. Doth not wisdom cry? O ye simple, understand wisdom. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. And there's where I recognize that quite often it's wisdom that's talking. And I know God is wisdom, and it's God's wisdom. And yet I've seen some people kind of apply some of this stuff to this is what God is saying, and you know, indirectly he is. So it's a touchy little line to draw there. But I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. There's names of your children. You know? Instead of patience, you could have gone with, this is my daughter Wisdom and my other daughter Prudence. Prudence is really a prude, but that's okay. We should be. Anyway. Fools die for want of wisdom. A man of understanding hath wisdom. And I believe the order is knowledge, understanding, then wisdom. And young people today think they've got through wisdom without the knowledge. Schools, they don't even teach knowledge anymore. Just plain old knowledge. Do the understanding later. And then when you get your kids and they've already graduated, then wisdom pops in there. And you know what to tell them as grandparents, and then they don't care. So anyway. But that's how that works. So when it says here, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. It's what it takes to have this prudential thought process. Wisdom hath builded her house. The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. I like that. The lips of him that hath understanding. How do you understand, say, rightly dividing is without a shadow of a doubt how you understand this Bible? Have you seen that? I mean, you don't need to understand the situation, all this kind of stuff. You just need to understand rightly dividing, and that Bible makes total sense. And as a result of that, wisdom should be found there now. Even though we brought in stupidity to America, we should be able to get back in some wisdom somewhere. Let's see here. When pride cometh, with the lowly is wisdom. When pride cometh, with the lowly is wisdom. So somebody who's humble, somebody who's lowly as such, when the pride enters into the scene, that person is the one with the wisdom. You just think about that. When you're in a conversation or somebody comes up and their pride is just beaming, or you're having a difficult situation, even from a pastoral standpoint with folks, and pride is still the big killer. I mean, we got so much pride. We don't want to ever be told anything's not right or challenges as parents or whatever, and I've challenged myself 1,000 times, and people still get offended because they think, I know what I'm talking about. No, I know what the Bible's talking about. So the pride comes in there, and if we could just back off of that thing with lowly his wisdom. Just get off that high horse of yours and take what God wants to say. And that's where the wisdom would be. But anyway, he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor. There's some other verses that talk about how you may need your neighbor someday. Yes, but he's not a Christian. If you're the Christian and they come help you, that's a good test. That's okay. And vice versa. Anyway. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom. With the well-advised is wisdom. I'm not giving the references and stuff because I just want you to hear what the proverb says about wisdom. And then you can look them up later if you want, but you read them in your daily stuff. But this is just general comments about wisdom. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. Now, why would you think a scorner even seeks wisdom? But let's say a scorner is looking for wisdom. But if he's a scorner, he's not going to find it. And the Bible says in these days there'll be scorners. And so you come along with this wisdom about music we're going to talk about today. And there are a lot of scornful people out there, a lot of attitude people, and they're not going to find the wisdom. Same thing with your children. If you've got children that are fighting you, you can lay wisdom on their plate and they're not going to get it. I can attest to that because I know in my childhood, somebody put some wisdom towards me. They must have. I had all the wisdom I needed to know. You know, the skinny tight pants, the Rambler. You know, I mean, I had it together, the long hair thing. I mean, I was been to college, you know, and the whole thing. I went back to South Dakota. I was a scorner. Somebody should take me out back and de-scorn me. But the wisdom of the prudent. Any amens in that last thing? Not about me, but you identified with the situation. Don't sit here looking. Yeah, you really were. No. I just felt that I'm the guilt. No, it's okay. I know I'm not too far ahead of everybody here with guilt and that stuff. You know. Yeah. If we laid it on the table, we'd have some pretty big plates out here. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Wisdom resetteth in the heart. Wisdom resetteth and must be. Look at Proverbs 14:33. That must be rested. He's got a Penzile. We got a Penzile I could borrow. I mean. I should give him my pen to take the cap off, and it's a knife. You need a. Rest at the eye. Reset it. You need a restart? Then. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. And where would you go with that? The wisdom is resting there, settled. It's there. You ever had a burst of wisdom, and you recognized it as very wisdomy, and then it went away? But it was just, oh, that was a neat thought. That was, well, just a burst of wisdom, and then we couldn't hang out. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. Anybody ever had that? Oh, yeah. Don't say, oh, yes. That means you have a lot of wisdom. But it comes and goes. Here it says, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. Do you notice the kids today, the boys, the male, they are proud of their stupidity and their gunkiness and their dorkiness. They just walk around, I am gunkier than you, and they think that is just really cool. I just look at these guys. What is this? Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? There you go. Bring your gold in tonight, and I'll give you a brand new Bible. Hey, you already got a Bible, huh? Okay, I guess you can keep your gold. But it is. That wisdom is better than gold. Well, let's see here. How much better? Okay. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding. See, you got to have that understanding first. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth, gets involved with that thing, just digs into that wisdom thing. The wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Look at Proverbs 18:4. Let's look at that one for a second. The first half is good, too, about knowledge, I think it is, or understanding. So who's got that? 18:4. What's the first half?
The words of a man's mouth are deep waters.
There we go. Deep waters, and yet this wisdom is that flowing brook, as compared to a stagnant pond, I suppose. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Cease from thine own wisdom. Buy wisdom and sell it not. Well, that's a big one to this copyright junk. Through wisdom is an house builded. Wisdom is too high for a fool. I like that one. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. And then also in verse 13 it talks about the wisdom is sweet to thy taste. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to show you the verse where wisdom gets its beginning, as does understanding and the right kind of knowledge, and that's chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Don't be hesitant to say that to some people if they're interested. And then we learn that we follow the risen Christ by following Paul, and that's where our wisdom comes from today. Wisdom to us is from the risen Christ. Now look at Romans chapter 11, verse 13. I know that you've heard that before, but I guess it's good. I have to say that again, in case anybody out there hasn't heard that. But if you want wisdom, you've got to be able to understand this Bible. You got to know it, you got to understand it, and then pops the wisdom. And if our kids could just be patient for wisdom, if they just could get this knowledge, and not even try to understand anything, just knowledge, get as much as they can learn of the right stuff, they'll learn understanding as life goes on, and then someday the wisdom will come out. But they're getting it backwards today. They've been taught that they're full of wisdom, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Romans 11:33. Now we're looking at Paul. What's he say about wisdom? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So Paul is very strong on that. We need God's wisdom. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If a person truly, honestly follows Paul, rightly divided the way of God more perfectly. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Okay? Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. So just think about that. I know we need schooling, we need to learn how to read, and we need schooling. But we could so easily emphasize the learning of the wisdom that God will destroy. He's going to destroy the wisdom that we learn from the world. We need to be teaching and learning this book, Rightly Divided, God's Wisdom. We really do. I know you need wisdom, how to have a farm and country and or a job and pass this on to our kids and everything, how to business and all that stuff. But that's the wisdom. Because you know you go to these companies, they've got all these hoorah meetings now, and they've got the wisdom how to do the scores, you know, and how to win your customers. And what are these guys running on for presidential election? How to get you to vote for them? Nothing about wisdom or what they would do or how they'll be. They're just doing, they're saying whatever they can say to get the vote. That isn't wisdom. But anyway. So the wisdom that's floating around in this world, I will destroy. God says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And what's coming into our churches? Preachings. They're preaching the wisdom of this world. How to get along, how to... It's humanistic Bible counseling by using the Bible in really crazy ways. What's the word? Biblical counseling, I guess. And they just... It's just amazing what they're doing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is... Paul mentions a number of times that he doesn't want to use manly wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Well, this is Paul. Right, Paul had the wisdom of God. But what he's talking about here is this. He's a good speaker. Go to school to learn to be a good speaker. Have excellence of speech. And I know people like to hear good speakers. I'm certainly not a good speaker. But I think that you've understood your Bible. As a result of that, I don't have any followers. And it doesn't hurt to be taught how to speak. And you know, you need to learn some of that stuff, I'm sure. But it's getting to the point where you don't think you're going to get anything done unless you're a good speaker. And Paul said, listen, I came not with excellency of speech. Just declare the testimony of God, the truth, the Bible. Rightly divide that Bible for people and let them get a hold of it. Don't trick them with being such a good speaker. Why do people follow all the people they follow? They're excellent speakers. They're excellent personalities. They've got beautiful suits. They just know how to do it. Watch those Seventh-day guys on TV. I mean, they're slicker than slime. And people just fall for that stuff. And then your friends come and visit here. Sorry. This is the best I can offer. I put my sports coat on, but they don't fit anyway. You know, I was kind of panicking for that funeral a couple weeks ago. I was going to have to go out and buy a suit. I don't want to buy a suit, because then I'm going to lose it someday. So, yeah. I've done a couple of sermons here without the tie on, and I know the tie means, but it feels strange. It's a weird thing. For what I'm doing here. I notice now that I can see my tie much better than I ever could before. But maybe I'll get rid of that. Look. I can see my tie tack from here. Isn't that terrible? Most of his posture is all you get old, you lose the muscle control. There we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech. And my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Boy, that's my pastor there. I mean, if your folks would have come down, if I would have had a chance to talk to them at all, you would not be inviting me over for my enticing words of trying to get them to get it. We just got to show them the stuff. And that's all you got to do to people. Don't you find yourself trying to find a way for them to get it? I mean, what can I do to finagle this thing so they get it? What can I do to click the button so they get it? Well, that would be enticing. enticing words of your wisdom. Just give them the book, give them the scriptures, give them the visual testimony, give them the joy of Paul, and the joy of the scriptures. Like I said to some folks, your kids may not realize anything until you're 20 years into this thing, and your Bible is still important to you, preaching is still important, and you still got the joy of being a Christian. They'll get more out of that in 20 years than you can do anything to entice them and to catch them to get it. So we do. There's something we want our kids to get. There's something we want our friends to get. What can we do to help them get it? Have you learned? There's nothing you can do except just, there it is, and be the testimony you should be during all of this. Anyway, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It's almost like if we give people some scriptures and we show them rightly dividing, it's like we don't think God can get them. Well, God can't show them anything. I'll have to show them how to do this. Well, who showed you? Did I show you? I had to learn about 16 seconds before you got it. Every Sunday I said, Lord, whatever you show me this week, I'm going to present it. And he's shown me the stuff, but not in the deep blue heavens coming down to me during a nap or anything, but just reading your Bible and seeing it. God did that, though. And we've all learned that we've had to unlearn some of the stuff that enticing men's wisdom taught us. And there's where our problem lies, is we have a hard time getting rid of some of this stuff. Why is that? Because we still respect some of those guys because we liked them as a pastor or liked them as a person, and we just can't believe that they could be so wrong. In some cases, they can be so wrong. So we fall for this enticing words of man's wisdom quite a bit. Okay, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. When our friends and family are following things that will come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And who's the one that's revealing that mystery? Paul, Ephesians chapter 2 and chapter 3. That's what needs to be revealed to our family and friends. And then let God work on them if they're reading their Bible. And if they're not, and they step aside from this whole thing, who are they messing with? Who have we learned that they're messing with? It's the devil. Remember, Paul says, those two examples, to go out there and have their flesh, the destruction of their flesh, and learn not to blaspheme. And it's the devil that's going to teach them that, not God. So our kids go haywire. We don't turn them over to God. We're going to turn them over to the devil. And God will be there when they realize their flesh is flesh, like we've come to realize, and they'll realize that they've been blaspheming God. And they know where to go to that book. If we taught them how to go to that book, that's what we have to teach them. I'm frustrated. I can't get my kids as much to see what I'm seeing, but I'm trying. I'm trying to just present it, and then there it is. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You got the same. You got a worse situation. So do you. It's hard. What do you do? There it is. That's the wisdom they need to hear and what? In our day-to-day life. So we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Isn't that an amazing statement? That is just amazing. God says, listen, if they'd have known about this, they wouldn't have done it. But they had what they did. So now what do we have? We have the whole book. He's not afraid of us learning something that would mess up his plan. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Now here you go. Where do we have what the Holy Ghost teaches today? In the Bible. In Paul's time. How would they know what the Holy Ghost would teach? The Holy Ghost would do that. And they got Paul. And they got those other guys preaching and teaching. How is God's word manifested in Titus? Preaching. What? Where do you find this wisdom? Where do you find what the Lord would have us learn? In the Bible. Of course, still led by the Spirit of God, but still in that Bible. I hope you're starting to see the importance of 1 Corinthians 13:10, as far as rightly dividing how it's stated in Paul's time for how it's applied to today. It has to come from that Bible today. And what is where does everybody say they're getting it from? God. That's hard to fight. It's really hard to fight because they think God showed them. Just like that music store guy said that God taught him how to play piano. God just taught him how to play piano. He prays, I need to learn how to play this piano, God, and give you the praise and the glory. And when he sat down to play piano, this guy was worthless. I'm not saying that judgmentally, critically, it's just that if I ever heard that this is what God would teach a guy how to play a piano, if I was not a piano student, I wanted to learn how to play piano, I was not impressed. If God would teach you how to play piano, you know what you could do? You could really play piano. Come on, give God a little more credit than that. Nice guy, but just caught up in this modern Christianity. Oh, it's so hard. Okay, keep going. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Why don't people understand the Word of God? Even when they're rightly divided for them, they don't get it. What would be one of the possible reasons? They're a natural man. They don't get it. And lastly, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Then does it say, and again? Okay. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. So where should we be getting our wisdom? From the Bible. Proverbs, rightly divided. Paul, to us. And then just trying to live it.